drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Have a listen to this. It's the very first conversation between the two main characters in a new drama comedy series called Mint Condition.
We specialise in local music.
Cool. Why?
Well, if you're going to run a record store in Melbourne, you've got to stand out. Some amazing stuff.
Christ. You're one of those I'm so happy I get to play records all day, every day, people, aren't you?
And you're one of those I like to hang shit on people I don't know, people. So rare in a middle-aged white man.
That's the voice of Sybilla Budd, who plays the role of a 40-something single mum called Audrey, who moves from Sydney to Melbourne to open a record shop. Vince is a has-been rock star, played by actor Bernard Curry, who meets Audrey when he takes his unwanted records into her shop. Mint Condition is a series about music, life, and refreshingly, it has been written for adults. I'm not talking R-rated content here, but conversations that people in their 30s and 40s or even older are kind of having all the time. Gareth Calverley is the creator and co-producer of the series. He joins me in the drawing room along with Sybilla Budd. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, PK.
So, Gareth, some people might be making a link right now between what I've just said and the well-known book, movie and now TV series, High Fidelity. How is your show different?
I think, as you pointed out in your introduction, Patricia, it's a show about adults. I think Nick Hornby's book was terrific, and the series that has resulted has been sort of changed from the book a fair bit. And our one, we just wanted to do something where it wasn't about, you know, nerds standing around record shops talking about which Rolling Stones album from the 70s was more compelling. We wanted something a little bit kind of deeper than that. And that's why we sort of went with the character of Audrey as a single mum who's trying to basically rebuild her life.
Gareth, series one is 5 short episodes of 10 to 12 minutes. Why did you go down that short format path?
Well, again, we were looking for something that was a bit more compelling than what we would typically do in television. We sort of come from a background of writing more conventional half-hour and one-hour shows. And over the last little while, short form has become quite an exciting new format with shows like State of the Union and particularly a great show on HBO called High Maintenance. And we were kind of challenged by the idea of, you know, can we actually write a compelling story in 12 minutes? Can we write a compelling series that you could sit down and binge basically in 1 hour? And so as writers, we were both terrified and attracted to that idea. And so we just sort of thought, well, let's give it a go. And it took a little while. Like, it took a few cracks at it before we figured out how to do it. And short form is exciting because it allows you to tell stories in different kinds of ways. And ultimately, as a screenwriter, it's my job to surprise the audience. And that's what we were trying to do. And short form just allowed us the format we felt that we could really sort of explore and do that to the sort of best of our ability.
One of the things that you and the others who worked on the series did was sit down to talk about how you wanted people to feel when they were watching each episode. What feeling were you aiming for?
Look, that's a good question. I think it varies depending on which of the 5 episodes that you watch. But the feeling we were trying to kind of elicit was that you get to a certain point in your life, particularly if you're 40-something, when you've been through a lot, you know, and I'd certainly been through a fair bit personally. So we wanted people to feel a connection, you know, a connection to music, a connection to community, and a connection to family. And that's fundamentally what the show is kind of trying to get at.
You mentioned wanting to write for adults. I guess all shows have conversations with and for adults. So how did you make your content different? I mean, isn't everyone writing for adults?
Well, I would love it if that was the case, Patricia. I really would. But I find a lot of the stuff I watch, particularly these days, I find it, and I hate to say it, but I find it kind of a bit remedial and a bit dumbed down and a bit loud and a bit shouty. And we didn't want to do any of those things. So we sort of approached it like, let's do a show where two people will sit down for 6 or 7 minutes and just have a conversation. And fundamentally, that will be the episode. So it wasn't really about plot. It was much more about character. And it was about sort of having those difficult conversations that don't end in a kind of neat or kind of simple way. And one of the great things that I think Mint Condition does is it doesn't give you easy answers, because there aren't any. That's just ridiculous to think that things can be easily dealt with. And at the end of the show, you know, you put the bad guy in cuffs and everybody walks off, you know, happily whistling together. We didn't want to do that. So one of the things that the show does is really allow us to, and Short Form allowed us to, just have a conversation. You know, that thing that starts off as, what was your first concert, or who was, you know, what was the first album you bought, but very quickly becomes a much more in-depth and nuanced conversation.
Well, I have to ask, what was the first album you bought and what was the first concert you went to?
Ah, I was hoping you would ask me that. The first album I bought with my own money was Changes One by David Bowie, the late, great David Bowie.
Nice one.
The first concert I went to was actually an outdoor festival when I was 12 years old, but my mum and dad wouldn't let me stay until the end. I had to come home at 7:30. Mm. So I missed Australian Crawl. They were the headliners, but I did get to see everyone else on the bill. And I also saw Bowie in 1983, and that was my first concert that I went to by myself and stayed until the end.
Now you're just showing off. Sibylla, how about you?
Yeah, sorry.
I still remember buying the CD, and it was Kate Sobrano's Brave.
Oh, good.
And the first concert I went to is a bit naughty. I snuck into it at the ANU bar. I grew up in Canberra, and it was to see the violent Femmes.
Oh, so. Now you're showing off too.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, but I wasn't meant to be there. I was underage, but that made it even more fun.
Yeah, of course. There's nothing like sort of illicit behaviour. Hey, Sibylla, exactly. When that script arrived, what did you think of it? Was it a script you pondered over in between cups of tea over breakfast to just sort of pour over it, or were you, were you sold straight away?
I was sold straight away. I was. I actually read it all in one hit, which isn't hard because they're just 12 minutes each ep. But, yeah, I was just up feeding my daughter overnight, and I read it in one go, and I loved it. It just spoke to me, and the character spoke to me. And as Gareth said, it's just, it had a sort of magic to it for me.
And it kept you awake while breastfeeding, so that's quite good.
It kept me awake, which is always a good thing.
What was it about the writing that got you in?
It just seemed unique. It seemed like, you know, something I hadn't read before, and you get sent a few things. And as Gareth said, it was the conversations between people, so relatable, and but with a point of difference. You know, I love that it was celebrating Melbourne music and the Melbourne music scene and Melbourne artists, and I loved its uniqueness, I guess. That's what spoke to me.
But I heard that you almost said no to the role because you were so busy with not one but three young children. What swayed you?
Gareth. Meeting Gareth for a coffee. I didn't almost say no. I don't know where that came from. But three kids, and the little one was 5 months old. So you can probably hear her in the background. But no, it was a no-brainer. I just thought, you know, also because it was only, you know, it was going to be quick, it was going to be a week's filming, it was doable. So I thought, let's just do it.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis, and you're listening to The Drawing Room on Radio National Drive. My guests are Gareth Calverley, who is the creator and co-producer of a new drama series called Mint Condition, and Sibylla Budd, who plays the lead character Audrey. Sibylla, the scripting leaves each episode with an unexpected twist. I won't spoil what actually happens in the third episode, where there is a deep conversation between you and Gary Sweet, who plays your dad. But I will ask, is it true that entire episode was shot in just one afternoon?
Yes, it was. And it was also the first episode that we did. So it was a beautiful way to start filming, actually. It's hard to talk about that episode without giving away the ending, but just a beautiful two-hander, you know, which is very rare, where you just get to talk with another actor. And the way Steve Mann, the director, shot it, he just sort of let us go, basically. He just, you know, followed us around, which was a great privilege to be able to perform in a scene like that too.
How different is that to the way you usually work?
Usually it's sort of a lot more, you know, you stand on a mark and you're told to, you know, it's sort of much more plotted, so you know where you're going to end up on certain lines, and it's a bit more regimented, I suppose. This is much more freeing, a bit more like theatre, more like being on the stage, where you are sort of much more in control of your performance, rather than the director and editor ultimately being in charge of your performance. So that was a gift, I have to say, to start the whole series off with that episode.
And Gareth, so you get Sybilla on board. Gary Sweet said yes immediately too, right? He plays the role of Audrey's dad. And then you had to find the right person to play the role of Audrey's 14-year-old daughter. What happened there?
Yeah, look, it was a very challenging role to cast. And she's 14 years old. She needs to make me believe that she's come down from Sydney. She's living in Melbourne and she's not very happy about it. And we brought in a couple of dozen young actors to audition. And it was quite nerve-wracking, Patricia, because I think there were about 25 of them. And whilst they were all good and interesting and they could do the lines, they just didn't have that X factor that we were looking for. And I was watching each performance really closely and we got, you know, 18, 19, 20. We got to 25, the last one, and I was just in tears almost. And so I clicked on Grace Champion's audition, and I knew within 20 seconds that she was going to get the job. She was just fantastic. So much natural talent and so much kind of warmth and so much intelligence. You know, she'd actually thought it through and she did the lines in a unique way. And that's really all you're looking for, is just someone who's thinking about it as an actor rather than just waiting for their turn to talk. So I called Steve Mann, our director, and I said, "How'd you go?" And he was like, "Number 25. And so we both instantly knew that she was the Deanna for us.
Sybilla, has it become harder to get scripts that are, you know, at their heart, just good conversations? I mean, that's something Gareth was talking about before, this frustration that everything was shouty and, I don't know, fast or just not very deep.
Yeah. yeah, I suppose so. I've been really blessed with the last two shows, because I went on to do Operation Buffalo after I did Mint Condition, and that was another, you know, beautifully Peter Duncan wrote that script, and that was, again, another beautifully written show with terrific dialogue. So, yeah, I guess so. I think what I said before, there was a uniqueness to that, just the ease of the dialogue and the, you know, as a 40-something mother myself, just, you know, life gets harder. And, you know, that was really reflected in the script. It's not fluffy and it wasn't played down to the audience, I didn't think that, you know, the real life dramas were relatable and real, and that had great appeal.
And Gareth, why did you want music and independent music to feature so strongly in this? Is it sort of a strong sense of nostalgia which happens to you as you hit your 40s?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think it's nostalgia. I think it was really, I mean, I've been a lifelong record collector and attender of live shows. I think one of the opportunities we sensed really early on was this was going to be a great way to showcase, you know, two dozen incredible songs from some of the best independent bands in Melbourne. And so we just wanted to make sure that the music was kind of diverse and interesting and loud in places, and just something that was going to showcase Melbourne in a tiny way. I mean, we've only scratched the surface, and if we do get to do another series, we'll be able to bring in tons of other music. We worked with a music supervisor named Lindell Wilkinson, who did an amazing job in bringing us bands and bringing us songs, and I just got to sit there and listen to the stuff. And then when we were editing, we could work out, okay, that song's going to be good for the opening of episode one. It's upbeat and kind of rock. And then we might use, for example, in episode two, we just used one song by a local artist named Jade Imagine, and we used that song three times, and we used it as part of the story. So we didn't want the music to just be an ornament. We wanted actually for it to be inside the story. And of course, Bernard Curry's character Vince has to sing a song in episode five. So we had to get someone to write that song. And we ended up with Charles Jenkins, who's an amazing local artist down here. So we wanted the musicians and the music to be not separate to the show, but intrinsic and kind of interwoven into every episode.
Sybilla, were you someone who saw bands in your younger days, or maybe still? Not so, actually, not still. We're in COVID-19, it's clearly not yeah. still, unless you're doing it online.
Yeah, no. I actually, you know, I saw a few. It wasn't a big part of my life, I have to admit. Yeah, I don't know if I was cool enough. But yeah. There was a few, when I was at the VCA, I guess that was a part of, because I went to the VCA down here in Melbourne, which is the arts, you know, university, and yeah, I was living in Carlton, so it was a normal Friday night to go and have a palmy at the pub, and there were often bands playing, but I don't think I sought them out.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, the palmy was generally the motivator for me to
It was the palmy and the footy, and yeah. The band was just an added bonus.
Gareth, I should point out that anyone interested in seeing the show can only do it by paying to watch it on Vimeo. Has the isolation and lockdown worked in your favour with people spending more time at home?
Look, I guess it has. I'm not really sure. We had a very clear idea of our target audience for this show, and it was finished before COVID kind of started, and then we were sort of faced with this decision of what do we do? So I actually called all the agents who look after all our amazing cast, and I asked them, and all the actors were like, no, let's get it out. Let's get the show out there into the world. And so I guess it may have had an impact, but I'm not really sure how to quantify that. I do know that our website is mintconditiontv.com. We've had over 50,000 views of our trailer, and the show's already sort of made back half its budget by people buying it, and it's sold all over the world. Patricia, it's sold in 12 countries now, and it's proving to be very popular, and it's got real staying power. It's been available now for about 4 weeks, and every week it just keeps getting stronger and stronger. So if you love music, it's the right show for you.
Now, series one is released. What are the plans for series two and three?
Well, we've written, we'd like to expand the show. So I think it would be much better if we kind of got to do 10 episodes or maybe even 12 episodes at 12 minutes each. We have approached the good people at the ABC to help us in that endeavour, and we're waiting to hear back. So we're sort of hoping that the great success of the show will convince someone out there that it's worth a series two and perhaps even a series three. We've already sort of worked out who comes in and who joins the party and how they cause general mayhem when they do arrive. So it would be a chance to, you know, to get Sybilla and Bernie and even Gary Sweet back on the set and back into the record store, and we'd love to be able to do it again.
Well, thank you to both of you. It's been a great conversation, and, you know, now I know your first concert, I feel a little bit like I know you a bit better.
What was yours? Can I ask what yours was?
Well, I did go to the Young Talent Time concert when I was a child. So that's officially the, you know, first outing. But okay. I think the sort of real first was Lenny Kravitz. And then that's my first cute. Album was Bob Marley and the Wailers. Do with that what you can, my friends.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much. Gareth Calverley is the creator and co-producer of Mint Condition. Sybilla Budd plays the lead role of Audrey, and the series is produced by Boilermaker, and you can find it online. That's it for RN Drive for tonight. There will be more news and analysis tomorrow at 6 p.m., which is where you can catch us, but we're online all the time. Catch you then.